Do you wish you had more volunteers? Of course you do. As pastors, we always need more volunteers. You need more volunteers. I need more volunteers. The church down the street needs more volunteers. The reality is for all of us, regardless of what size church we are, regardless of how old we are or how young we are, regardless of any other circumstances, we always need more volunteers. And the simple reason is because as our churches grow, we need more. And so if we don't have a lot going on in our church, well, then maybe, just maybe we don't need volunteers. But the reality is we do. We always need more volunteers in kids' church. We always need more volunteers to help us with the services. We always need a board or some sort of elders or some sort of advisory committees. We always need more volunteers to be a part of what we're doing at our churches. But the problem is that it's hard to get volunteers. For some of us, it's really hard. We struggle to get volunteers. We struggle to recruit them. Once we get them, we struggle to keep them for long periods of time. Managing the volunteer crew at your church is very challenging and very difficult. But there is a way to create an environment, to create a culture, to create just a mentality within your church that volunteering is the place to be. Volunteering is the thing to do. It's what the church is, and you get people coming in and staying and being a part of every team that you have simply because it's the culture you build and the culture that you've created. And the volunteering is kind of what you do at your church. You can create that. And what I want to do today is I want to show you four ways you can create that culture by doing one simple thing, and that is out serving your volunteers. We're going to talk about that today. So let's get started. So the big question is this: how do pastors like us who remain focused on the mission of Jesus and serving our communities without being distracted by everything in the world around us, how do we increase our effectiveness while living a lifestyle that doesn't compromise our health, our families, or our personal relationships with Jesus? That's the question this podcast is going to answer. I'm Dr. Brandon Partycooper, and welcome to the Ministry Hackers Podcast. Welcome to this episode of the Ministry Hackers Podcast. I hope you're doing wonderful wherever you are and whatever it is you're doing. Our sole purpose here at Ministry Hackers is to help you as a pastor, as a ministry leader, help you grow your church, have a healthy, growing, spiritually vibrant church, while at the same time, spending time with your family, spending time with your friends, enjoying your hobbies, traveling, if that's the thing you love to do. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to do here. That's what we hope you are looking for. And I'm so glad that you're here, a part of this podcast, engaging with us and enjoying this content. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk through how we can increase the number of volunteers, but at the same time, we can deepen the culture of volunteerism at our churches. And so, we talk about here creating margin in your time. If you're a pastor, you're a ministry leader, you know full well that you have more things on your plate to do every day than you have time to do it. And usually what happens is there's this tension of, do I leave the office at 5 o'clock and go home and spend time with my family? Or do I stay at church and get stuff done and really kind of get ahead? And it almost feels like you lose no matter which choice you make. If you close the books, shut your computer, walk out of your office at 5 o'clock and you go home and you spend time with your kids, spend time with your wife or your husband, spend time with your family. There's always this sense of like, oh, I should be getting more done. But at the same time, if you stay in the office, you get a few more things done, you get ahead, you feel this guilt of like, oh, I really should be home. And as pastors and ministry leaders, we constantly feel that. And not that today we're going to talk about how that all goes away. That's just not possible. It's not possible for all of that to go away. There's always this, as Andy Stanley says, there's always this tension that needs to be managed. But at the same time, if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling constantly anxious, feeling stressed out, you're feeling like you just can never get ahead, there's a good chance that it's because you don't have enough volunteers. You don't have enough people in your church raising their hand and saying, yes, I want to be a part of the mission of this church. I want to come alongside you, Pastor, and I want to figure out what I need to do and how I fit into the volunteer community here at this church. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about building that culture, building that piece of who we are, that volunteerism in our church, so that not only do people want to be a part, not only do people stay once they're a part, but it's kind of the thing to do. It's kind of, it becomes, if you're a part of our church, you're on the volunteer team. And I don't know what you call your team. So at our church, we call it the dream team. And that's somewhat of a common term that's running around right now in a lot of churches, this dream team. The dream team is the volunteer team that's really kind of making things happen. It's the backbone of our churches, is this volunteer dream team, support staff, however you want to say it. But they're the backbone that keep the church moving. And, you know, at our church, it's great. It's wonderful because I don't think I've ever been a part of a church where the volunteer community is such a high percentage. I think we are like 60, 65% of the church is on the volunteer team. They are involved in some aspects, whether it's in kids, whether it's greeting and hosting and ushers, or whether it's on the production team or the worship team, whatever it is. The thing to do at our church is to be a part of that team. If you're not a part of that team, you kind of feel like, I know for my wife and I, when we first started going to our church, there was definitely the sense of like, man, being involved was the thing to do. Being involved was where you connected with people. It was where you really kind of just felt like you were a part of the church. And when we weren't a part, we were just kind of attending, and we felt that. And once we kind of stepped into on we call it the dream team. Once we stepped on the dream team, it was like, oh yeah, this is the heartbeat of the church. This is what the church is all about. This is who they are. And now that we're a part of that, we're a part of the church. We are a part of that heartbeat. And so I don't know what it is for you, but for your church, that's what you want. You want to create this culture and this community that the thing to do is to volunteer. And the key to that, the key to getting people to volunteer at your church and to stay volunteering at your church, is to serve them, outserve them, give them more than they're giving. Now, I understand that, you know, spiritual maturity, moving people from, you know, just getting salvation with Jesus, raising their hand, say, yes, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. Yes, I want to commit my life to Jesus. Getting them from there to spiritually mature, there is a point where they shift and start, instead of asking what's in it for me, they start asking the question, what can I give back? What can I do to serve others? What can I do to invest in other people? That's a natural spiritual maturing progression. Unfortunately, we have too many people in our churches that have never reached that point. They've never started to ask, how can I give back? How can I invest more? How can I pour out? Or we have people who have gotten to that point and they've said, yes, I'm going to volunteer. I want to be on the team. And they volunteered forever until they're burned out and worn down and they just don't have anything left. And I think this is a tragedy because we take great people in our churches, great people that raise their hand and say, yes, I want to volunteer. Yes, I want to be on the team. We take them and we don't give them, let me back up. They perceive that they're not receiving as much as they're giving. Now, I'm not saying that is truly the case, because I know as a pastor, as a ministry leader, you give everything you have. You may not give it to that particular person, or they may not recognize what you are giving, but I know you are working and you are giving and you are serving and you are sacrificing. I know that. But their perception may not always be that. Their perception may be, I'm giving more to the church than I'm receiving. And what I want to do today, I'm going to give you four ways to kind of change that perception. Again, I'm not saying that's reality, because I know as a pastor, ministry leader, you are giving everything you have. And so it's not a reality, it's a perception. And perceptions can easily be changed with just a little bit of work. And what I want to do is give you four ways you can change that perception, outserve your volunteers, so that they feel valued, so they feel bought in, so that not only do they want to be a part of the volunteer team, but they want to stay a part. They don't want to go anywhere. And so the first way you can do that, the first way you can outserve your volunteers, is to give them adequate skill training. Now, what this means is when they say, hey, I want to be a part of the kids ministry team, that you are serving them in a way that they feel like they feel like they have enough understanding of what's expected of them that they can get the job done. When they, and some of them will say, hey, I want to be a part of the kids ministry because they love kids and they are familiar with kids and they're comfortable with kids. Others are not. I'm one of those. I have three kids, but don't put me in kids ministry because I'm lost. I have no idea. I feel like I'm being attacked by small wolves when I walk into a kids ministry. So I need to know what to do and how do I herd these cats together and keep them moving forward and somehow help them grow in their spiritual growth and development. I need to know that. And so give them adequate skill training. Walk them through a training process. Don't just say, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be good. That's not adequate. That is getting by. That's getting them into a position to serve your needs, not their needs. Help them feel confident that when they walk into kids ministry or whatever area they're in, production, ushers, greeters, information booth, whatever they're doing, make sure that you adequately train them. And I know that the kickback here is that it just takes time. It takes time to train them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be the one to sit down with them. Maybe somebody else can sit down and train them. Or more than that, maybe you can create an online video training where they can sit down and they can consume that whenever it's convenient for them, whenever it works for them, so that they can receive that training on their own time. You create that training. You never have to do that training again unless something changes. But it's a lot more, it's a lot easier for you from a time perspective. But then at the same time, they feel like they know what they're doing. They know how to do the volunteer position they've been put in, and they have a chance to be successful. And that's what a lot of volunteers want. They just want the opportunity to be successful. They want to feel like they know what they're doing and that they're adequately prepared to do whatever that position is. And so, number one, give them adequate skill training. Number two, give them personal life training. Now, I know that this sounds like you're doing two things. You're doing skill training and personal life training. But let me explain how it's really the same thing. It's really how you package it. So what we tend to do as pastors and ministry leaders, what we tend to do is we tend to train people for this position. So I'm going to teach you how to do this one thing. And we don't help them understand how this thing that I'm training you actually plays into your personal life, your life at home, your life at work, your life in your neighborhood, in your community. We don't draw those lines for them. And so they think, oh, you're just training me to be a good volunteer at your church. And most of the time, that's not an issue until down the road. They're frustrated because they're like, well, you just used me to get what you wanted, or you just got what you wanted out of me and ran me ragged and you know, burned me out, and now you're going to move on to the next person. When you train them, when you give them skill training, when you give them tools to not only succeed in their volunteer position, but tools that they can succeed in life, succeed in their time at in their time at home and with their spouse or with their children or at work with their coworkers. When you're giving them skills that are going to help them succeed in those areas, then their mentality is, you're not training me to be successful here at church. You're training me to be successful at life. And oh, my volunteer position is just the vehicle that I'm receiving that in. When we do that, then people understand that they're getting great value from the investment they're putting in their volunteer time. And so give them training that's going to apply to their personal life, not just the position that they're in. We don't want the perception to be that we're using them to grow our church. We want the perception to be we're investing in them so that they're successful in all areas of life. And so give them adequate skill training, give them personal life training. The third one is to do celebration events. Now, these can be big events, small events. These can be offhand events. These can be just little things here and there. The main thing is show your appreciation. I know over 20 years of being in ministry, I've seen a number of volunteers who have served for, some of them have served for decades, and they don't feel appreciated at all. They don't feel like anybody notices them. They don't feel like anybody pays attention to what they're doing. They feel like they are on an island just serving, and they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and keep doing it, while all the while there's this little hint of bitterness that's growing in them that they just feel like nobody cares. Like, I'm doing this. I'm doing this for the kids, or I'm doing this for the students, or I'm doing this for the new people that walk through the church. But really, pastor, the leaders, they don't care what I'm doing. They don't pay any attention to me. That's a real sentiment among some of your volunteers. When we do celebration events, whether it's an annual banquet or it's a quarterly recognition award show, or whether it's just every week, one thing that we do at our church is every week we celebrate one person and we say, hey, the captain of the week is so-and-so for this. and we really just kind of hype that person up and show our appreciation for what they've done. Well, that's just a great celebration moment that we do every week. And you can do the same thing. You can do it weekly, you can do it monthly, quarterly, annually, whatever. But make sure that you're intentionally building in moments of celebration where you're sharing what they have done with others in a public setting, whether it's with the other volunteers, whether it's the rest of the team, or maybe it's with the entire church. Whatever the case is, celebrate what they're doing. Celebrate their investment. Celebrate their sacrifice. Celebrate them so that they feel appreciated. They feel valued. They feel honored. They feel like they what they're doing week in and week out is noticed and appreciated by you. You, as the pastor especially, you are the one that they're really wanting that recognition from. And so make sure that you're creating celebration events that people feel appreciated and valued. And then the final one is create feedback loops. What I mean by this is you create ways for every volunteer to share their wins, to share their frustrations, and to share things that they're not comfortable sharing with anybody else. Too often, again, we have volunteers who are on an island, they don't know who to go to. They have a problem, they don't know where to go. They have an issue, they don't know who to talk to. And they feel isolated, and they feel like they don't have an outlet for conversation. They see a problem, and they don't know who to go to with that problem. Or, worse yet, they know who to go to, but they don't want to go to that person because that person is not pleasant when problems come to them. There need to be feedback loops, and there need to be ways for your volunteers, every single volunteer, to have someone to go to communicate their concerns, their frustrations, their needs without feeling like they're going to be ostracized, they're going to be attacked, they're going to be defended against. If when that's the case, when the environment and the culture is, well, you don't talk to that person because they just don't really handle conflict very well, and that's one of your leaders, that's not good, because then you have you have volunteers who are now isolated, who don't feel like they have anywhere to go and don't have anyone to talk to. Create feedback loops so they can have those conversations. And maybe it's, again, maybe you do this annually or quarterly where you sit down or whoever those volunteers answer to, whoever's over those volunteers, sits down with them once, or individually, one-on-one, and ask the question. You can use a SWOT analysis. What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What are our opportunities? What are our threats? Or you could just say, what is working? What's not working? And what do you need? Those questions are great questions to do one-on-one with every volunteer at least once in a while. Again, maybe just annually, but they have an avenue to have a conversation, talk through difficulties, talk through challenges, and communicate what they need. When you have feedback loops, then trust goes up, loyalty goes up, communication goes up, the sense of security goes up. Everybody feels like they know what they're doing, they understand what is expected of them, and if something goes wrong, they have somewhere to go. And so those are the four ways that you can outserve your volunteers, is giving them adequate skill training, giving them personal life training, providing celebration events, and feedback loops so that they can feel confident, they can feel appreciated, they can feel like they're invested into, and what they do is valued. When you do those things, you create a volunteer culture that people love, that people draw near to, that people not only want to be on, but people don't want to leave. They don't want to step off because then they're going to lose out on all that value that you've provided for them just by serving them and giving them above and beyond, for in some cases, what they may have earned or worked for, because it's not really what we're about here. You know, we're talking about our volunteers at our church. We're talking about those who put their hands to the plow beside us and move forward and advance the kingdom of God and share the gospel and are that smile or that touch point that keep people coming back week after week to our churches. Those people are the backbone of our churches. It's not us. As pastors and ministry leaders, we're not the ones that keep everything together. It's the volunteers that do that. And so we need to make sure that we're investing in them, we're serving them, we're loving them, we're showing our appreciation to them, and we're equipping them to be successful in whatever volunteer position they're in. When we do that, then we create an environment where volunteers will flock to, will stay, and will grow, and go deeper in what they do and how they serve the church and those who come into our church. So I hope this is helpful. I hope this is some light bulbs have gone off. There's a few practical things that you might be able to use. I hope that's the case today. Thank you so much for being here at this episode, and I look forward to talking to you in the next one. Have a great day.